Hear me. All right. We are preparing for John, but we're not going to go to John this morning. We are going to be talking a bit more about what's going on Saturday, and I want to tell you why. You might say, well, Jamie, you've talked about this a couple times now, and I would say, yeah, and I have a book in my library that was written by a popular evangelist in the church in the 60s, and his book was about why our meetings don't work anymore. This was in the 60s. 70 years ago, he wrote the book. And I suppose it was in the later 60s, and there were some cultural turmoil and things like that. And what he said was, we don't plan them out enough. And this was a time when you still had two-week gospel meetings. This was a time when you had churches active and really working in these things. He laid out a schedule that was 6 months in advance for every meeting that you did. 6 months. And there's a checklist. I thought, almost read the checklist. I brought it, but I didn't. But it has things like choose a theme. Don't just throw something at the wall. Choose a theme. What do you want covered? Get someone who can do that well. Maybe even get a backup speaker. Maybe pick a song leader 6 months in advance. 4 months out, you do things like promotional material. And there's a whole list of these things, but by memory, it's the idea of just having pamphlets made or other things to be able to hand out. At 3 months, you're starting to talk to people. You're actively not just got preparation. You've chosen the theme. You've chosen the person. You've got the dates. And now at 3 months out, you're actually starting to talk to people. Now, that doesn't start in earnest, but you're starting to put some things in the paper months out. Small things, not big ads, just small reminders. Then 6 weeks before, you mention it during every service. 6 weeks. Six. And he says, if you do it 6 weeks straight, brethren might remember. Sad part is I've found that to be true. I really have. I'm not saying it's bad or forgetful. I know I'm forgetful. But the idea is, if you tell someone something's important again and again and again and again and again, eventually they remember, hey, that's important. I shouldn't plan something for that. I shouldn't be gone that day. I should try and be here if I can. Now, some people are going to be gone for knocking. They really can't alter that. Other things beyond them have dictated that are gone that day. But still, so the idea of talking about an event like this and trying to make it successful is trying to talk about it often and talk about the importance of it. So I want to go through, again, a little bit what we did Wednesday, but not really, okay? So I want to talk about the idea of reaching our community and how we're going to try and do that with trying to let people know in HICO that we love Jesus, we love them, and that we want to make their lives better by teaching Jesus, by opening Jesus and the fellowship of Jesus to their families and to their own lives. That the church is family, right? It's really the only family you can really choose. You know, I guess you can choose who you marry, but the idea is I can be part of a family that wants to be, that we want to work together. We want to be together is what we're trying to talk about. So that's the issue. How do we do this well? But now, for some people, door knocking is the answer. To most people, door knocking is the problem, all right? It's difficult, no one really enjoys it, and what in the world? Why even do it? We've talked about that some in some detail, but listen, there are some things we can do to make what we do more effective. And there's some things we can do that we don't walk to, and these are things we can use beyond Saturday from now on. Because each of us can very easily, we don't have to have a door-knocking day to pick the block around our houses unless you live out in the country somewhere, right? But we can pick our neighbors nearby, and we can go by and knock on their door and talk to them and say, hey, I want to let you know I'm a member of the Church of Christ in Hyco, is there anything we can pray for? I know at church we're having this prayer wall thing we're doing where we're trying to get prayer needs from people in our community, and we've been neighbors for a long time, or you don't know me, my name is so-and-so from the church, and what can we pray for you? The other thing we're going to ask, we talked about Wednesday, is after you get through a prayer request and have a prayer at the door, and they say, well, we'll put this on the prayer wall, and we'll pray about it as a church later, and say, listen, okay, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? And that may start a conversation. Now, actual conversations at the door don't happen very often, but sometimes they do. What we're doing, though, is we're not trying to get a Bible study at the door in door knocking. We're trying to lay seed for further discussion about the Bible and further discussion about God and further discussion about the church. That's our goal. We're not trying to go. If you go to a door and have a nice exchange and a prayer request, and maybe I would ask God this question, that's success. All right? Because what you do is you say, well, this question you would like to ask God, could we come back and talk to you about that? When we get an answer together from the Bible, because we want to get all our answers from the Bible in this specific question, can we come back and talk about it? Can I email you? An email. Well, we can now send them. We put out a bulletin every week. I forgot this week, but we put out a bulletin digitally every week in email. Some of you get it. Some of you don't. Everyone can get it. Just go to the website and sign up. And we can send that out. It's an article, and it's news. So anyone can get it. And that costs $0 to send out, right? And so we can do that to our friends and neighbors. If you have email addresses of people in the area, they can always unsubscribe, right? You get those emails that are like that go out to groups of people. Those always, unless it's sent to you individually by somebody, those always have a way to unsubscribe. And the one we send are the same way. You can unsubscribe from those. So it's not like you're doing a violence to somebody by sending them a church newsletter. They can always choose not to get it. However, we can do that kind of thing. And I know that can be effective. We're going to talk this Sunday. We're going to talk after lunch. And if you would, please stick around for that. I know I'll say it again during the morning sermon. I know lots of folks get a big full belly and go home and take a nap. I understand that. But we're going to look at a couple people. We have a short video clip we're going to show. It's not long. In fact, it's a couple of shorter ones. And talk about them briefly. So it's not going to be a long service, but it's going to be where we see people saying what their experiences have been, and some people whose lives have been changed by someone knocking on their family's door, either recently or in the past. So it's sometimes good to see people whose lives have changed and obeyed the gospel by someone just caring enough to stop by. And there's one example I can think of B.J. Clark, who's of the Memphis School of Preaching, the president of the School of Preaching. No, he's the director, and he tells a story about how his wife became his wife because she was a Christian, and when he was growing up, and she became a Christian because someone carried leave a pamphlet at their door. Now, they weren't even home. Someone left a pamphlet. Hey, we're from the church. It's good. We're in their neighborhood. Just want to leave some information, that kind of thing. And they said, well, if someone cared enough to come by and leave this pamphlet about the church, I guess we'll go by and see. So they went by to see, and they struck up a conversation with a friendly church member. Be friendly. They came back, got to talk to the preacher a little bit, and got into Bible study, and the entire family, well, the parents and eventually the kids, eventually obeyed the gospel, and that little girl became his wife. Do you think this kind of outreach means a lot to him and her? Yeah. Yeah. And tell you what, in my time doing this, and I'm not a door knocker. I'm not someone who knocks on the doors, and I should be more, and I'm gonna do better. All of us can do a bit better. But it can make a difference. And sometimes there are people that if you go to their door, they're so glad you're not trying to sell them something. We talked about the idea of having something to hand them that's a pamphlet, or we're going to have a tract we made specifically for this purpose. We made it last year, but for this purpose. And so we have this. We have the House to House Heart to Hearts. We're going to hand people. Hopefully they've already gotten these House to House Heart to Hearts for like 6 months, but we're going to hand them anyway to remind them of what they've been getting. And that way you're showing them, hey, we're not trying to sell you something. We're trying to give you something. So when you say, listen, can we pray for you? They think, well, they're not trying to sell me something. They're trying to pray for me. Wow. Okay. They're not trying to get me into a cult. They're just simply trying to pray for me at the door. All right. The Church of Christ has been here lots of years in our community a long time. And so I just want to, we wanted to come by and pray for you if you have a need. And as good neighbors, can we help you? Can we help you with anything? Don't be in detail. Just say, can we help you with something? If it's, hey, can you change my light bulb? Fine. If it's, can you pay my mortgage? Well, we'll have to take that into advisement. You know, we can't do that. We can't really do that kind of thing. But that is, can we help people, right? And seeing if the church is seen as those who want to help people, and I know we talked about this before COVID even happened, the idea of trying to take that fourth Sunday, I talked to Brandon about this specifically, take that fourth Sunday and then take that afternoon after we come together and eat and have like a project, right, a community project we can do. We go down to clean up the park. Remember that, Brandon? Is that a fever dream I had? No, we talked about that, right? The idea is just be out in the community being active, doing things. And maybe we clean up the park. It may be we paint some lines where we won't get in trouble if the city has to do it. And we can do it and do something though that we're active and people see the church doing something. God's people are not to be those simply who teach doctrine. God's people are to be those who live doctrine, and part of that is to reach out to our fellow man in lots of ways. And so we can bark about the plan of salvation, as we should, by the way. I'm not saying that in a derogatory fashion, but we should go ahead and make sure we're trying to be an example. What Jesus called his disciples, a light, right? Salt, that's to have savor. You don't put a light in a bushel basket. We're to be like a city on a hill that everyone can see. But if we hide away, we can't do that. Now, this happens progressively over time. I would imagine that when this church, and I've seen pictures, was about 200 strong, when there are people in the wings, right? When that was happening, would you say in X years, we're going to have 30 people for worship? What would they think? If you said that, we're going to have 30 people for worship, and we're going to be around still. We're going to have some strength, but we're not going to have a lot of young people because people move away, and we'd be a smaller group, and we're going to be just a shadow of our former selves. What would people say? What would you say if that were you? Some of you were in that group, right? Many of you were. If someone said in 30 years, I don't know what it's been, 40 years maybe since that was that way, maybe 50, I don't know. Huh? 15 or 20. And so if someone said, okay, in this many years, this is going to be what happened, what would you say? You would say, what happened? Right? Now, your answers may be things like, well, our country changed. Is that true? It's true. You might say, our young people grew up and moved away. Is that true? In some cases, it is, right? But in many cases, people just kind of lost interest. Now, some died, of course. That happened a lot. You could probably point out right now, if you're in my position, where people, you sit in certain pews, and that's still, in your mind, that's their pew, right? Can you do that, some of you right now? Yeah. But the idea of replacing people with those who love the Lord, replacing those who love the Lord with those who love the Lord, is also a very important part. How it can bring more people into the kingdom. It's not like there's not room. And I'll tell you what, let me guess that if this building was full every Sunday and there's hardly a place to sit extra, even if the wings were full, do you think our elders might want to expand a building or get a bigger building if they could? Do you think if there was no place to sit here that they would somehow remedy that somehow? It might be meeting in the cow barn, but we would do something. I promise you that. I don't have an authority to say that, but I'm promising if there was no sitting here, we would do something. And by the way, if that were the case, we'd have the money to do something, right? And so the idea is having a zeal for these kind of things. And I want to believe with all my heart, and I just know it's true, as long as there's breath, there's hope. Who said that? Solomon did. The idea, I know it has to do with salvation, but while there's breath in us, we have activity. Jesus said, I must work the works of my Father while it is day. He said, there comes a night when no man can work. Now, by night, he meant death. There comes a point of death where we still exist, but we can only affect things on this physical plane in the same way. That's what Jesus' point there, right? So, these things are important to plan to think about. It's not one of those things where you think, well, what good's it going to do? It will do good by the fact we're planting seed. It'll do good by the fact we are getting practice. It'll do good by the fact that, like I said, we do it like in these doors Saturday. We'll learn how, you know, if we just do a few doors, we'll better learn how to talk to our neighbors down the street or around the acre, where we can just drop in and say hi with more confidence, that we can have a conversation about Jesus or take them a pamphlet or something and say, listen, we made some of these from the church. It tells a bit about the church. So I thought you might like this. Or if you have questions, let me know, or whatever it may be. So we have lots of planning that's gone into things. The tracks in the back wall and the things we have there were prepared by people who were very thoughtful. And I've done a couple of those things, but these are by people far more experienced and knowledgeable than I, in many cases, that are meant to be thought-provoking to help people among various issues, right? And so we have all these things we've prepared. We've had Bible study classes, how to do Bible studies. We've had seminars. We've had all kinds of hand-holding and talking through things. And let's see now what we can do with it. We've had this publication, House to House, Heart to Heart, for 6 months, and we want this to have success so we can keep doing the program and reach more and more people. And so that the idea of the purpose of the church, there are three. Do you remember what they are? Evangelism. Now, what are the other two? Now, you may be able to say them, but the first one in your mind is evangelism. Why? Because you know that's the purpose of the church. Now, the other two are edification, that's keeping the saved saved. Evangelism is bringing the lost to Jesus. Edification means keeping the saved saved, keep them involved, keep them engaged, build them up. And the third is benevolence, which also is really top of evangelism, what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. So you have these three things. But they're all three meant to get people to heaven. So I want to do good deeds, Jesus said, that'll cause people to glorify our Father. If you do good deeds and people know you're a member of the church, that will glorify God. I've already picked on Brandon once, but people know Brandon's a member of the church. When he goes out and does good deeds and they know that, where do they connect? Unless he's cussing out the whole time, right? They think, you know, Brandon, he's a good man. He's a member of the church down there. I wonder if that's helped him be who he is, right? And so when we do things as members of the church and we don't do negative things to take away from it, then that's good. We talked about walking up to someone's door, and I made a joke about Dennis smiling and waving as he walked up. The idea is leave a positive impression with people, right? I mean, if you go to a door, knock a door, and someone's, I don't care, you're the guy, why? Someone's a grumpy old man. Don't cuss as you walk away. Don't stomp your foot and yell at them and say, well, you heathen, if you just listen to me, I'll help you out. Leave a good impression and maybe come back later, or maybe next year or a few months from now. One of the things that Bobby Bates mentioned years ago was just the idea of going, like I said, just to a few of your neighbors, your street, or just pick 4 or 5 houses on your street and just go and put something in their door, like a tract we have or something, or just pick out 4 or 5, if they have kids, pick out a tract like about dinosaurs or something and just put in the door and say, and just do that. Don't just leave that and go. You can come back later, maybe leave something else or knock on the door and say, hey, I came back, I left this thing here. What do you think of it? See what they say. Don't feel like we have to fill all the air with words. One of the mistakes we make when we talk to people about Jesus is we nervously fill all the air. It's not very effective. One of the things I have to tell young preachers, and I guess they still have to tell me sometimes, don't be afraid of the pause. Now, if the pause goes on very long, there might be a problem. But the fact is, a pause is a very powerful way of speaking. It gives time for people to contemplate where you're talking about, what they're thinking, what you're saying, where does it lead them? A pause can be very powerful. So don't feel like you have to fill the air if you're saying whatever word, whatever syllable, right? When you're talking to people about Jesus, same thing. Is there something we can pray for you about? Pause. Then let them go. I didn't say, well, there is something, or oh, not really. But if you say, can I pray for you, and then give 5 other examples of we're praying for this, 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 and this, that may work with some people, but it's usually bad to just keep talking without stopping, without taking a breath. I know you're thinking, well, I don't have the problem, Jim. You do. You're a preacher. I get it. But here's the thing. You know what preachers do that's weird? We get nervous. You know what you would do in front of people? Most all of you would get nervous. So when we're talking to new people, we're at a door, what do? We get nervous, don't we? Is that natural? And we get nervous, we stutter, we stammer, we fill the air with talk just because we often blather. Is blather a good word? I think blather is an okay word, right? Blather, we blather. Blabber is better, maybe, at people because we get nervous other than just saying a thing and waiting for a response. All right. Having said all that, let's talk about a couple things. So when we go to a door, we're going to do this Saturday. Hope you can come out and help. If you can just knock 2 or 3 doors, let's do that together. First, we be respectful. We stand back from the door. We don't crowd the door. We knock and step off or ring or whatever and step off away so people open the door. They don't feel like we're in their face. That can seem rather aggressive. For a modern term, that can be a microaggression. Anybody who's paying attention to the news. And we don't want to leave a bad impression in any case. So that's first thing. Second thing, we can have unreal expectations. Like we may think, well, I'm going to knock this first door and we're going to start a Bible study right away. I have a couple in my car or whatever, or the truck, or I have my back pocket, so we can start right now. And my first door knock is going to lead to a Bible study this very hour. Don't think that way. Think what I am doing, that happens super rarely, but you think, well, again, I'm planting a seed. Not even that really. At that point, you're not really even planting seed. You might say you're preparing the soil. Is that fair? You may not be really talking about matters of substance at the door, but we're just trying to prepare the soil for future planting. All right? So the thing about this precondition is just trying to reach out as a church and do good deeds and make contacts with people. It's meant to be a bridge, an outreach device, to then one day later planting the seed, or later that very conversation, usually much later. So, and ask for a prayer request, like we talked about. Have you ever asked somebody if you could pray for them? I got to tell you, it's kind of hard to do until you do it. And then usually if you ask a question, can I pray for you? Is there something I can pray for? Maybe you're going through a difficulty time, a trial, or having a problem. Is there something on your heart that we can pray for you about? And then tell you, write it down, right? The person that's talking, the person's writing things down. And write it down and then pray right then. Right then. And after you do that, you know what people are? They're thankful. Now, the ones that are really grumpy won't tell you what they want you to pray for. But if someone tells you, you know what, actually, my cousin was in a car wreck, and or my mother has cancer, or whatever it may be, something like that. And so you can say, well, let's pray right now for that. Have a prayer right then. And they'll be thankful. And they'll remember that the people from the Church of Christ didn't come around to ask for money. No donation drive. Didn't try to sell anything. Just wanted to give you something and have a prayer. That's it. And a prayer, not in general, but about the person who they knocked. Can you imagine if I knocked a door and said, can we have a prayer together? I guess. And I prayed. I was praying. I said, Lord, thank you for blessing my life. Help me to be a better person. And thank you for all the things you've given me, Father. Not a bad prayer by yourself or on people who love you. But pray for them. Pray for their particular need. Thank you, Father, for the church. It's doing so awesome and we're so great. And we're not like the heathen, Father. No. Ask them what they need and pray for those things. Any thoughts or questions? And also, I wonder, when you ask the question about God, if there was one question you had for God, what would it be? What would you ask? One question. Anything, what would it be? If someone tells you, write it down, and then say, I did this week. We're talking about someone I was talking to, I won't tell you who. I want them to come first, and then I'll tell you who. But I talked to someone in town, and they brought up something about God, not directly but indirectly, and so I brought up the idea of a question. So, you know, we talk about apologetics once a month down the church. Sometimes I post on Facebook when it's going to be, but next time I preach on that subject, once a month I preach on it, I'll address that question specifically. Would you come and hear that? Oh, yeah, I'd come. We'll see if they come. Give us a few weeks to figure it out, right? And so if you address someone's question specifically, and if we keep this idea of up answering questions once a month, the apologetics question is not, that week is not the same as Q&A, but yeah, we do that kind of thing once a month. I'll do that next month. Won't you come? Oh, great. Sounds great. So when it comes to questions, say, look, we have one Sunday night a month where we just answer submitted questions. Now, sometimes those take a form of a sermon, but usually they're just questions answered during the course of one sermon. And so would you like to come out and hear that question answered then, or can we come back by here and talk about it with you privately, or can we even send you some email references? Right? And if someone gives you an email address, you can send the Bible newsletter, which has scripture in it every week about whatever topic is being talked about, plus some news we have in the congregation. So those things can be very valuable. I'm just curious, though. If you had never gone to church, friends, what would cause you to go? Yeah. I know I've quoted before, there was a survey done by a Christian college. I forget if it was Reed or somebody else, but they basically, it was a big thing saying what brought you to church. And things like, well, a charismatic preacher was like 5%, you know. Elders was another one, like 5% or so, like really good elders. I was really impressed with the leadership, so I started coming to church. Of course, they got to get to know you first, right? But I was like 80% said someone asked me. Isn't that crazy? Like 4/5 of the people were like, just someone asked, you know, someone I knew asked me, you know. And so I went and I met people and they were friendly and I liked them. And so I decided to investigate further, and that's where it led me. Isn't that something? What are we going to do to get people to come? We got to ask. Yeah. Got to put our best foot forward. But that's most of it. But I think we think in our minds that, well, that'll never work. Being friendly and nice and, you mean, preach sermons about the Bible, using Bible verses to tell what Jesus actually wants us to know. And I want to preach and tell stories. I want to tell pretty fables. And I want them to make everybody laugh a lot. Was your preacher a comedian? Did he hire one of those? Or did he hire... It's okay to make people laugh. Some faces are just funny, right? But the idea is, what's church for? It's to learn more about God and His Word. God gives... I want to be able to give that Word to people like it can save their souls if they obey it and improve their lives regardless. So that's what church is about. And we can do those kind of things. Anything else that would help? In my case, and most of us have run into daughters, but not entirely, she caused me to go. And you remember the story. I was like, hey, you want to go out and date? Wink, wink, nod, nod. And she was like, well, if you go to church with me, I'll go out to a movie with you. And so I guess some of you don't want to wait for 20 years to have daughters and have them go to college, but that's maybe beyond your scope of things. But that worked with me, right? But again, asking, she just asked me. She's like, okay, well, if that's fine. What else do you think might cause you to go to church if you haven't gone before? Tragedy. That changes people's hearts for sure, right? Biggest bump in modern church growth, at least temporarily, happened after 9/11 in 2001. Churches nearly doubled as far as attendance for a while. Maybe the ones that are well known. I don't know if that ever happened here, but people who showed up hadn't been there for a long time or never. Those things cause people to ask bigger questions like, why? And, or maybe I got to get right? That's some of it, yeah. What causes people to go to church? Someone showing love and affection. Someone making a difference. Someone being a light. Having a pretty daughter, I guess. That doesn't hurt. But there are things that cause us to want to go to church. Or it can affect that in a positive way. And those are the kind of things that, as a church, we can ask ourselves, okay, if this thing would help me want to go to church, what can I do? In my case, I had a pretty daughter. I did my job. Right. Well, she had a pretty daughter. I just helped in some way. So I'm going to stop talking now. So what can we do individually? I think this idea of door knocking, I think I've said a lot Now I've gone to saying things that are helpful to things that are rambling. So what do you think about having an event like this? It's a huge waste of time. Do you think it's good? I think it's just good just because you're not giving the church isn't dead. It's a big, big thing. The church is not dead. We're alive. We're kicking. Yes, ma'am. That's a great point, because that's a big deal. And in my younger years as a preaching student, as a young preacher, when we knocked doors, there was no plan. There was, you got a Bible, go talk to people. And went on campaigns, and there was no plan. You just, hey, you guys cover this street, you guys cover that street. They gave us some boot camp kind of tips, and that was it. Go do it. And I was a preaching student. I was still terrified. I was a young preacher, still terrified. And but I've been very impressed with the work that Rob's done at House to House, Heart to Heart, and the things they're doing. They're helping, trying to use this more of a outreach tool than ever before. And I think it was always meant to be that for some purpose, if you ask the creator of it, Alan Webster. He would tell you that. But this is really good stuff, and we have a plan. We have say these couple things. These are good ways to start. Get some information about maybe what they want to pray about, and maybe further contact, and that's it, right? And by the way, we've already had seminars on how to do Bible studies. We've had two different kinds of Bible studies. And I would think that what lesson did Barry teach? He taught us. Fishes men, thank you. And that's a great method. It's very intensive. But the back to the Bible, three lesson approach about how you can know you're saved and going to heaven, or you can become a Christian and go to heaven. Everyone here should be able to do that. Everyone here should be able to. It's super simple. The booklets are in the back. And we've had training on it, and I can help do that with anybody. If you have a Bible study, I'll come and do it. Just let me know when and where, and we'll come and we'll do that together. You can watch me do it, but just get the contacts, right? This is very important. Anything else other thoughts you have about, but I'm very impressed with the work they're doing. That's why, I don't remember who we talked to first. So maybe Brett asked me about it, and I said, I'm very impressed with what they're doing. You know, I normally would not get behind it during a campaign in a small town because they're so unsuccessful. But that's changing. That's changing a lot. And it you're going to see examples where people's lives have been changed by it and how powerful it can be. But it's better the more you do it and the more people you talk to. One of the great things about Fishers of Men, and Barry couldn't come this year, he's going to come back if we'll have him. I hope we can have him next year in the spring. But he makes you, if you're taking the class, talk to people. You can't graduate the class without talking to people. You can't do it. You can't just do the homework. You have to actually talk to people. Because he's found over decades of doing this that if you just start talking to people about important things, about the Bible, about God, and about Jesus, and get them talking, the next time it becomes way easier. Right? Keith's been a Christian. How long have you been a Christian, Keith? Since he was 12. He's not going to give me the math, but I got it. Okay. So, a long time. Now, if he's never gone to someone he didn't know before and tried to talk about Jesus, even now, that would be very hard for him. Well, the years of experience, though, in the church and things he's seen and done, you think the second, third time he would do it, he'd get better at it? He would. Unless he stops breathing, he'd be better at it the more he does it, right? That's how it works. And so the idea is that we the more we do it, the better we're going to get. And the more we do it, the better our success is going to be, right? And so I'm excited about it for that reason. Please come out Saturday at, I think we said 9 in the bulletin, 9:30. and we'll get at it. Any final questions? I think we have a few extra minutes, but that's about right. We're about right. Any thoughts? Anything? Oh, I see a question. Yes, ma'am. That is fantastic. I just can't speak Spanish. Yeah. I took Spanish in high. I grew up in Illinois. That's Midwest, and I didn't grow up in Texas. So I blame you Texans for not speaking Spanish better. But I took it in high school. But I can't. I'm not even going to try and speak Spanish. I'll offend somebody. But yeah, that's great. That's a great thing. I've known people in deaf communities who learned the sign language because we talked. Because if deaf people can read lips pretty good, if they grow up deaf, but if you can sign to them, that's like opening a whole window. So imagine if your Spanish is your native language, your main language. And you might be able to understand English a bit, but coming to you in Spanish might be a big thing about trying to break down doors. That's fantastic. Anything else? Let's come back in a few moments to get ready for worship. Thank you for your time. And if you have a question or comment, please, you can hit me up between